On this week's episode of the Natty Boys podcast, we discuss the Reds' shocking elimination from the playoffs and find some solace in the fact that they own the Dodgers this year. We were all pleasantly surprised by the Bengals' Week 1 success, but nobody seems to be too happy with the way the officials are giving out roughing the passer penalties left and right. We wrap up the show with our weekly picks and a fantasy draft of our all-time favorite Bengals. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
And welcome to the show. Today is Friday, September 14th, and the Reds' playoff chances are dead.
Didn't think this day
would come. I refuse to accept it.
You were wrong, Witty. They're eliminated officially.
Witty's trying to find a loophole in the rules.
But they actually do own the Dodgers, though.
Yeah, if they could play the Dodgers every game, they'd be sitting pretty right now.
Yeah. The Dodgers don't want another of the Reds in October.
That's right. That would have been a hell of a series. Yeah, they finished the season 6-1 against the Dodgers. They had them on the ropes for an entire season sweep today, but they let them get away, get out of Cincinnati with a victory.
It's a gentleman's sweep.
That's right.
Yeah,
we didn't want them feeling too bad about themselves going back to L.A.
Yeah.
The only part of this series that I watched, because I've been, like, Monday night I watched football. And then Tuesday I watched some of the game, but the Madsen versus Votto. Yeah,
I was pissed at that.
I was really hoping for some fireworks, and Joey just ended up striking out. Yeah. Nothing really happened in that matchup.
No, I wanted Joey to pimp a home run so bad.
Oh my God, I know.
That would have been awesome.
Do you like that one video that's going out that's viral right now where the guy literally stands on home plate and stares at the ball as it goes over the fence, then tosses the bat like 20 feet up in the air?
I haven't seen that yet. I haven't seen that either.
It's ridiculous, man.
Is it in like one of those foreign leagues?
It's a foreign league. I think it's like, so I don't even know if it's professional, but it's just, it looks like it's some kind of amateur baseball. But the guy just literally stands there and watches it and then just throws the bat like as high up in the air as he can.
That's awesome.
So the other thing that we may have talked about this a little bit last week, but Homer Bailey is apparently going to be replaced next year in their rotation by Tyler Mahle. And I think it's funny that like Riggleman is saying all this stuff and he's probably not going to be the manager next year. Like he's not going to be able to make that call anyways. So I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if he was the manager next year, but I mean, the Reds in the second half have just been absolute shit. Yep. So he's going to get replaced, even if Jocketty is a big fan of his.
Yeah.
Not Jocketty.
Castellini. Dick Williams. Castellini, thank you. No one knows who's running the show anymore. I don't think anyone knows him there. It's like you hear ownership wants to do one thing, and the GM does one thing. GM.
March shot.
Might as well be sometimes.
Yeah.
Dig her up. That's a little callback to Will Ferrell there. I'm not trying to be crude, but that was one of my favorite ESPY moments. Talking about, who was it that they said they wanted to host with? They were like, he's dead. And he's like, dig him up. Was it Wilt Chamberlain?
I think it was someone like that.
But yeah, I know. Homer, like you said, like Homer's not going to be on the team. He's essentially said, team does what they need to do. Like, I'm fine. I'm at peace with whatever decision they make.
Weren't the Reds like 1-16 in his starts this year?
Yeah, it's like 1-19, I think, now.
And he's their guy. So like, that's what's crazy. Awful. He's their guy. And they paid him. And
luckily, he's only got 2 years left. So even if they do cut him, they've only got that dead money for 2 years.
Yeah, it's not like 22 years. Or not really
dead money. It's because there's no salary cap. But they, I don't know. Maybe they can get him to do some sort of deferred money if they do decide to part ways. I don't know the technicality on how you're allowed to do that. I don't know if you have to be an active player to set that up before you leave, because I know Bronson's got deferred money. I think Griffey and Larkin might even still be getting paid by the Reds. Well, obviously Larkin, because he's employed by them.
Right.
But I think
I think you're right about Griffey.
I know Griffey's still got
Griffey's
contract.
2022, isn't it?
Yeah, Griffey, Arroyo, and someone else are all still on the payroll. There's somebody else. I'm trying to think of who it is.
So I recently saw my friend whose sister dates Bronson. And I talked to, so Bronson is still getting paid by the Reds, even for like promotional stuff.
Yeah.
So he ended up going, my friend ended up going on like a vacation with Bronson. Bronson gets $45,000 a month to spend on travel.
Jesus.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like he said that Bronson has trouble spending that money because I'm sure it's all from the Reds. He's so like when they all went to Florida together on vacation and Bronson just rented this bomb ass house right on the water.
Nice.
He said it was awesome. But yeah, $45,000 from the Reds a month for travel expenses.
It's like Griffey, I wish I could just get paid $45,000 a month for my actual job.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Griffey's getting just under $3.6 million a year from the Reds still.
Jesus.
And Bronson's getting just over $1.3 million a year. And that's his salary from the previous contract. That's not anything to do with what he's doing on the team right now.
It's crazy.
But no, Larkin, I guess, doesn't have any deferred salaries. His must have fallen off. But at one point, he was on that deferred salary list I remember seeing for a while. Wonder if that, I don't know, maybe since he's back in the organization, maybe there's something where it just gets all rolled back into the same.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. Since there's no salary cap for it to count against, it's not really a big deal. I mean.
Right.
But yeah, Joey Votto is 25% of the Reds' payroll. Homer Bailey's 21% of the Reds' payroll.
That's crazy.
And it's Homer insane. Bailey is signed through, let's see, I think he signed through 2020. So next year he gets $23 million. 2020 he gets $25 million.
Christ.
2021 at the age of 35 he's a free agent. So we're on the hook for $50 million whether he pitches next year or not.
Yeah.
Right.
So
And at this point he's not helping the club, so
yeah.
May as well just pay that money and get a young arm up that can start developing.
Because you're never gonna get anyone to trade for any, even if they do trade him. They're not going to get anything in return that's going to help offset all the money we're going to have to send with Homer.
Right.
I don't know. The Mets seem to like our aging players.
That's true. There will be somebody that thinks they can save Homer, but they're not going to do it for $23 million a year.
No.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe the Dodgers alone. Since maybe that's what we should do. We should set up a series like Loser Takes Homer with somebody. Homer's not allowed to pitch. Which he's not going to pitch unless someone gets hurt because he's not going to pitch out of the bullpen for some reason now.
Yeah.
It's just, it needs to be over. I defended Homer longer than he deserved.
Same here.
I wanted him to be good. I was excited when he came back and pitched well right away. I was looking forward to maybe he was finally turning it around and getting his head together and everything was coming together for him. And it went to shit really quick.
But the two no-hitters, man. I mean.
That's right.
He's due for another one.
He is. And that would have been funny if he pulled one off the other night when we knew, like,
yeah,
like it was going to be his last start unless he pulled off something miraculous because they had too many healthy starters.
Right.
Well, I guess, quote, heavy air quotes over too many and actual, maybe even starters.
So that's a good problem to have, having a plethora of starters that you can throw out there. An embarrassment of riches, if you will.
God.
Or just an embarrassment.
Yeah. Speaking of embarrassment, that Colts offensive line. I thought.
How about the refs are embarrassing?
Yeah, that's.
Because
Marcus Hunt, dude. Marcus Hunt sighting.
He's beast.
He tore us up.
He almost made it look like Bobby Hart's not a very good right tackle.
Yeah, it was a weird game. I thought they were going to blow out Indy. They came back, and they did something the Bengals haven't done in the Marvin Lewis era. They made halftime adjustments, and they came back and outplayed the team in the second half.
And won in Indianapolis.
Yep.
Yeah, and won in Indy. So I know it's Marvin gets, a lot of stuff said about him about halftime adjustments, but it's really his coordinators. And so far they've passed the the first test of adjusting at halftime, because that team played awful in the first half, just mistake after mistake from their captains. I mean, AJ Green, that we always talk about, we all love him, you know, fumbled the ball, can't cover the ball. Like, yeah. Like, come on. Like, just everybody was making mistakes.
He can't switch hands in traffic like that.
No,
like
no, and he does it all the time. Like,
and the one time
he had two fumbles in the game.
He lost one. The one time his fumble, it was like the play was going to be over. He already had switched hands securely. He was good to go, and like all he had to do was go to the ground. But he was fighting for a couple extra yards, like he was a running back, and that's when it got popped out.
Yeah.
But
Sean Williams not having much discipline when it comes to tackling. Yeah,
it was stupid.
I see what the ref saw in that. Yeah, I agree. Like I saw, you know, he was kind of going for the head. It was a tackle that didn't necessarily mean to happen, but it led to Fedulum at the end of the game being in there.
Fedulum.
That dude is fast too.
Not gonna work here anymore.
He is
fast. He had breakaway speed. That one, and I thought he's Luck was gonna catch him.
That's right. Handsome, exactly. Handsome guy too. Like, just a handsome guy. Yeah, fast. I like. It was awesome. It was a good play.
Going back to the Sean Williams thing, that's one of those instances of like if you slow down the play and you watch it in isolation, it looks really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it in full speed and look at it from that other angle, he was going for the hit on a running quarterback that got tackled from behind. But, like, he could have – there was a way to avoid it probably, but it's hard to say, like, how quick he can and how quick he can avoid it without putting himself in danger or hitting one of his own guys like that. Yeah. But it did look bad, and you could tell he tried to avoid his helmet. Like, he avoided using his own head. Like, it wasn't like an old – a perfect, like, I'm going to try to put the top of my head right through your face mask.
And it's easy to sit there and you know, either looking at a slow-motion video, like you said, you know, or watching, like, a still picture and pick it apart saying, well, here's what he should have done. And you see that, you know, not just with hits like that, but I saw a lot of that going on with decisions quarterbacks made, too. Like, hey, look,
Mitch Trubisky's bad one.
Yep, that bad one. Like, bad. It looks real bad when it's frozen like that. When you see it in real time, it's like, okay, you know, he had a split second to make that decision. You know, but that's not how people look at things. They see the slow motion video, and they see it over and over and over again. So that's why everything made that Sean Williams hit look so much worse than it was. Like, if you listen to, like, some of the Barstool podcasts I listened to talked about it. And they all talked about how terrible of a hit it was. How it was one of the worst, like, head hits on a quarterback they've ever seen. And it's like, in full speed, like, it's just a quick bang bang play. Yeah, he hit him high. He made contact with the helmet. It wasn't. He didn't make contact with his helmet though. His primary port of contact was the shoulder. Also, some people calling it a helmet to helmet hit, which wasn't true. Yeah. But it's. I mean, when they're going that fast, it's hard to really do anything.
If he's
about
wearing
that.
A different jersey, it doesn't even get the attention.
No.
Yeah. You think they should have worn their regular white jerseys instead of the Color Rush?
I like those white jerseys.
I don't disagree with the call, but he was leaving his feet before Luck started going down. Like, and that's my whole thing with it. I don't defend him because it was still stupid. Like, he didn't need to, there was no reason. Luck wasn't going to take off for a 70-yard touchdown. Like, there was no reason for him to dive there, but he left his feet before Luck was going to the ground.
The other problem I had was Andy got hit in the head a couple times.
Nothing
got called.
Yeah. One time he like completely got his neck like cranked around. Like,
yeah, it wasn't.
He actually went after the ref and started yelling at the ref.
Right.
That was. He didn't throw a pick on that play, did he?
That was no, it was just a.
No, that was the one that got batted at the line.
Yeah, but in that one, it wasn't so much like he didn't get hit in the head. It was almost like a face mask. Like he grabbed it and was turning it. But
that Andy was even like, missed. You're supposed to be looking right at it.
Yeah.
He's like, I forget exactly how he said it, but because, I mean, that back.
He said, how did you not see that?
I forget what ref that is. Is that the umpire back there? Is that the head referee? I can never remember which one's in which position there.
Yeah.
I think the umpire might be behind the linebackers.
But that's what Andy mouthed him. You could see Andy
that's what
going,
he was like.
You know, how did you not see that?
You're supposed to be looking right at me. Like, that's his job. And, I mean, plain as day, you could see Andy's neck, his head got turned around.
And yeah, this roughing the passer rule is going to for sure favor the elite, you know, kind of protected quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I think there's some of that. And I think some of it, too, is just that, you know, you see a lot of the fans saying, you know, I don't know what's a clean hit and what's not anymore. No. I feel like a lot of the refs don't know either. So they're kind of trying to make it up as they go. I don't think they really
don't know what a catch is
either.
What the fuck?
I know.
And that's the thing. I think unless you can slow the game down, you can't really make a judgment. Because when you slow Carlos Dunlap's hit down, frame by frame, like, he did a push-up off of Luck. He didn't even really put any body weight on him.
Yeah.
But because it looked full speed and because it looked violent, that's why he got called for it.
I swear to God, if Dunlap would have, like, dislocated his elbow or broke his wrist or, like, jammed his shoulder trying to keep himself up, I would have been so fucking pissed.
And that's the thing is we all played for a long time, and when you slow down or try to, you know what I'm saying, but when we...
Nope.
When we all tried to play, when you slow down, that's when people get hurt. Or when you try to, you know, slow your momentum down, that's when people get hurt on stuff.
I get
like
hurt
that.
Stretching.
I was graced with just a natural born slowness, so it didn't really, it was not tough for me.
But I mean, you remember some of the inside offense stuff we did in high school. Like when you had somebody that was slowing down or not going full speed, that's when somebody rolled an ankle. That's when somebody ended up on the ground. Like, and
someone,
that's
when someone got laid out by the middle linebacker in a non-contact drill.
Was it Dunlap on the second one too, where he was getting held? Well, yeah, it was Dunlap.
Yeah.
Where he was getting held and the offensive lineman letting go of Dunlap from holding him, he fell into the back of Luck's legs and they called roughing the passer.
Yeah.
It's like if there wasn't a holding, there was no...
Yeah.
Like Dunlap would have been... He would have sacked him, first of all.
Yeah.
And then he probably gotten called there anyway. But
that's... I just don't think they can slow the game down enough for stuff like that. Like, he can't stop his momentum.
He finally got a clean one off, though.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember
he
who it was.
Threw Luck across the field, I feel like.
Yeah. I don't remember who it was, but it was in one of the later games. I guess it was, maybe it was a Monday. I can't remember if it was Monday night or if it might have been the Monday night Detroit game. They were like, that's the type of tackle they're looking for with the body weight on the ref or the quarterback. And it looked frame for frame exactly what Carlos Dunlap did.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, he put more weight on him than Carlos Dunlap did.
Was it when Stafford got hit really hard in the chest?
I don't know, because that was... No, this was one where a guy like got popped, kind of like how Dunlap popped him, like where it was like a 1-on-1 where he just like clocked him.
Gotcha.
That one was brutal. I thought he had like a collapsed lung or something.
Someone was tackling from behind, and another guy put his like shoulder pads right in his ribs.
Yeah. I thought for sure he was done. Yeah. I thought he was done for the game at least. And he came back out, but yeah, that rule was such a disaster. I'm glad the Bengals came out with a win there. I was terrified that they were going to get screwed out of an opportunity to win that game on that last drive. There was going to be a huge stop with a bogus penalty or something.
Didn't they say there were like 16 of those calls on Sunday too, between Sunday and Monday?
There were a lot. I don't know the exact number.
That's the thing, is it's week one. Like, it's, you would think that they're going to get better at calling it, but
no,
it's tough to see.
Well, and a lot of what we saw too, I don't think we really saw the new helmet hit rule come into play, at least not in the Bengals-Colts game. That's the one that, I mean, eventually that's going to be one that rears its head and it just ends up being ridiculous. Sue, I don't know if there were any in other games throughout the NFL. I didn't watch a whole lot outside of the Bengals, but...
We probably won't see that until Burfict's back.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I like how you can call that an offensive player, too. Like, running back can get that.
Because if the running back lowers the crown of his helmet, he can get called.
The thing I was watching Monday night was... Marshawn Lynch on every single play could get this called on him because whenever he is going behind his offensive lineman, he is lowering his entire body down in order to, you know, try and break through. And it's like, if you're not going to call it on him, how are you going to call it on defensive backs, players?
You want to see a textbook of what that rule looks like? That Liberty kicker.
Yeah.
He like lunged forward with his head. He like bent his body over and lunged forward with his head.
Like the old NFL blitz and N64 tackles where you just dive head first.
Yeah. That's what's crazy is in our lifetime, like, we're old enough that they used to sell videos of knockout hits, like NFL knockout hits. It was like a whole highlight tape.
Or like guys getting, and this was before our time, but I've seen videos of it, when before face masks were called. Like, and guys would just, quarterbacks would just get ripped down by their face masks and stuff. It's like, that's, I don't even know how long ago. That was like back when they were like the two bar looking things, like the old school, like Joe Namath looking helmets. But
so we're recording this Wednesday night. How was the Bengals game last night?
It was good.
Awesome. It's good to see them blow out the Ravens like the Ravens blew out Buffalo the week one.
Nice. Tyler Eifert's touchdown dance was amazing.
I know.
Which one? The first one or the fourth one?
I know. I love my favorite part was when Andy Dalton climbed up on the crossbar and just mooned the entire Ravens bench.
That was amazing.
That was pretty cool.
His ass is a lot tanner than I expected for a redhead.
And the carpet does match the drapes. That's right. It's a big tuft of red butt hair.
It's the goat.
It looks like Hefe's beard.
So the Bengals are minus one with the Ravens coming to town for Thursday Night Football. How are we feeling about this game realistically? I mean, I know that this is Friday and it already happened, so we apologize to our listeners, but we're going to sound so fucking wrong when it's when the Ravens do to us what they did to Buffalo.
I don't think they will. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, just the Thursday night games, you never see that big blowouts. It's always...
Buffalo's bad, too.
Yeah.
They're bad. They're real bad. They're starting Josh Allen this weekend and benching Peterman.
And it's not like Josh Allen came in and blew the world up. Josh Allen struggled, too. I mean, it's...
No, when you have 1.5 seconds to throw the ball, you're probably going to do pretty shitty.
And they really don't have anybody to throw to. Like, that was the whole conversation in the offseason. They don't really have any great wide receivers. Yeah, I mean, but Baltimore's defense is good. His name?
Corey Coleman. Mm-hmm.
I don't see Flacco throwing three touchdowns, considering that was the first time he's done it in 2 years. So, and he struggles against the Bengals for whatever reason. I just think their defenses are going to beat up on him. You know, it's going to be a defensive battle that's going to come down to a kicking, and Bullock will probably miss a 50-yarder to lose the game.
Yep.
So you're taking the Ravens?
No, I'm taking the Bengals. I'd take in the Bengals in a low-scoring game. I think they'll win by a field goal.
All right, that was the opposite of what you just said.
It'll be like 12.
Wait,
7.
So who are you taking, Hefe? I'm confused.
I'm taking the Bengals. I was teasing about the Bullock thing, but I'm taking the Bengals.
Oh yeah, so a little update. Picks, we all went.
Yeah, I was gonna say how did we do last week, Mac?
We all went 2-1. Witty lost the USC game. He took USC over Stanford. Well, he took USC to at least cover. I guess Stanford was 5.5-point favorites. We all got Stanford.
So everyone Witty knows got, that pro sports my forte.
Witty got Cleveland plus 4 against Pittsburgh. They tied. We didn't really talk about that. But
Jesus.
What a disaster of a game that was with all the missed field goals and blocks and bad calls. And Big Ben just literally, he had what, like, do you have like 4 turnovers total or something like that?
Yeah.
4 or 5, something like that. And a couple fumbles and a couple picks. And then we all got Cincinnati right.
Obviously.
So we're all 2-1 heading into week 2.
Until the fourth quarter, I was pretty nervous about that fucking Bengals pick. God, I wanted to turn the game off in the first half so many times.
Mm-hmm.
It was frustrating.
They should have been down 21-0, though. I mean, when you think about all the things that went wrong, they should have been going into halftime down way more than what they were.
Yeah. It's early enough in the season for me where I was still confident at halftime. You know, if that game was in – like late November, I'd be like, yeah, fuck it, we're done. This sucks.
Yeah.
You even texted something, Witt, about you were like, am I stupid to think that they can still win this game? And I was like, yes. And then they came out and did it. For the Thursday night game, I'm also taking the Bengals minus the point. I think that they'll win by at least a touchdown, I hope. And like you guys said before, it's going to be low scoring probably. And that being said, it'll be 45-40 Bengals.
We're
wrong constantly about this shit. But yeah, I'll take the Bengals minus the point. I liked what I saw out of the offense. In the first, Mixon looked like a fucking stud. As much as we may not love him, but he looks like a stud. Maybe John Ross can get something going too. And they didn't use Eifert very much, but they weren't in the red zone a ton. And I think that's where he's going to be dangerous. Yeah. So if they get in the red zone Thursday night, look for Eifert to catch those 4 touchdowns.
Yep.
That's what's crazy is as much as they flashed, like the guys like Mixon and that, they didn't even use half the weapons they have.
Like Boyd didn't get the ball much either.
I think he had only had
one or two carries.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything with the carries that he got either. It seemed like he was getting blown up in the backfield half the time.
Yeah.
Yep. But I hate to do it. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm taking Baltimore.
Ooh.
It just seems like the type of game the Bengals lose like 13-6 and just a very painful.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird score, I have a feeling.
Yeah, I think the Bengals – actually, I say six. I think the Bengals will score a touchdown, so I'm guessing it may be like 18-13 or something weird like that. It's going to – like Whitty was saying, or we've all pretty much said before, these Thursday games are so unpredictable and ugly.
Yep.
The only time I think I've seen people put up a ton of points against in a Thursday night game is that year that Cleveland walked in and had the game of their franchise against the Bengals somehow.
Yeah. Yep.
And just absolutely punished them on Thursday night. But other than that, Thursday night games are just – they don't have enough time to put a full game plan in.
Yeah.
Guys are usually like – at least the – I mean, we said this last year when they got beat by the Texans – but at least they should all be relatively healthy.
Yeah.
The Thursday night games later in the season when everyone's already, like, the walking wounded, it's like you don't want guys out there half the time, and you're not going to get 100% guys on Thursday. You never get – don't even get 100% guys on Sundays most weeks towards the end of the season. So
Marvin said that in his Monday press conference, he said he got 2 hours of sleep the night before because he was just up all night prepping for the Baltimore game. Like, that's such a ridiculous turnaround that they have to make it happen. But I guess I like it that they make every team do it now. Like, before it was – I like that every team has a Thursday night game, so at least they get screwed. Everybody gets screwed instead of just some teams in particular.
It used to be – like, they would only do it, like, for that middle pocket of the season or whatever.
Right. Yep.
And it would always be, like – I know they always joke about it on Part of My Take being the Colts or the Titans and was it Titans and Jaguars they always say?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it seemed like it was always, I mean, in the bad years of the Bengals, they always got lumped into those Thursday games too.
Yep.
It's like a punishment game more than anything back then.
Who you got, Whitty?
I'm going Bengals. I think they win. I think it's going to be close, but it's going to be more than a point. I'd say they win somewhere, but a field goal or a touchdown difference, but... I don't know. I'm feeling good about them right now. I still got that optimism, that early season optimism. So, I'm going to have that until they give me a reason not to.
I was shocked they were favored, honestly.
So was I.
Yeah.
I thought for sure they were going to come in like 2.5 point underdogs like they were last week.
They jumped quite a bit in like a lot of people's polls.
What's the weather supposed to be like last night?
Late or high 70s.
Yep, clear. Okay, rain.
It's not supposed to rain or anything like it did all weekend?
Nope. Should be a nice night for football.
Nice. That's good. The next game that we're going to pick is Kansas City traveling to Pittsburgh for the, the 0-0-1 Steelers. Pittsburgh's -4 in this game. And, man, I hate picking Pittsburgh, but I think that they're going to have a bounce back game. And I don't know if Kansas City's real or not. Like, I know they won last week and Mahomes looked like a stud. They have so many fucking weapons on offense, but that Steelers defense is always great. So I'm going to go with the Steelers Steelers -4.
I hate picking Pittsburgh, says the guy who's picked Pittsburgh 2 weeks in a row now.
Hey, man, I was right. No, wait, I was wrong.
Were wrong.
Maybe I should pick Kansas City.
Maybe you should.
Too late.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like it would be a Steelers bounce back. I just think the Steelers are in trouble. I think that they're down, and I don't think we know quite how bad yet, but I just don't think their defense is that good. I mean, they held Cleveland, but Cleveland's offense is so bad, and they should have – I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Cleveland should have won that game. I mean, you have 6 turnovers. It's like a 99.9% chance that you win that game. And it's awesome that the Steelers, didn't let them win it, but they're a mess. I think Kansas City rolls.
You just contradicted yourself.
Did I?
You said the Browns should have won that game, but then they didn't because the Steelers defense held them.
But I don't think – but again, I think that that's just because that's how bad the Browns are. I don't think they'll be able to stop Tyreek Hill and what – the Chiefs did. I think that they're in trouble. I think that they're just not that. I think they're down this year. I don't know. I don't see them coming back and having a typical bounce back game like they do that they have in the past.
Okay, so you're taking the Kansas Chiefs. City +4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going Kansas City. I think that I do think the Steelers are a lot worse than we're used to seeing out of them. Ben doesn't look like himself, which is kind of funny.
Yourself. He is injured.
Oh, yeah. What's wrong with him this time?
Nothing. I mean, he was just on a scooter. But he said he's day-to-day with something. I don't even know.
God. Yeah, he's always hurt. So, yeah, I just don't think that they're that great. James Conner. I always want to call him John Conner because that's the... Is that the Terminator?
Yeah. He's also the fullback.
Old Bengals player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to Lakota West, I think. Yeah.
Yep, he did. And then, was it Kentucky he played at in college?
Yeah.
Or Louisville, Kentucky? Was it Kentucky?
It was Kentucky. Yeah. And then he bounced around on both the New York teams for a while.
Yeah, that's right. I remember when he went to the Giants for a little while and then the Jets or vice versa. I think it was the Jets first, then the Giants, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think Connor's good, but I don't think he's going to put on the show that he had last time. And I don't think that Ben's going to be healthy enough where it's just, what Hefe was saying, I don't see the bounce back game with the Steelers game, like the Steelers you typically see, just because I don't think this is the Steelers team that we used to see all the time. The end is near, and thank God, because it's been too long.
No shit.
I mean, you hear about all those offensive weapons they have, and they just, like, Antonio didn't play that great. Like, I just don't think they're where what they used to be.
It was pouring rain.
Yeah.
Can't pass the ball. Yeah. It's like that. Yeah.
Still right. Tried.
I'm going to go Chiefs as well. Not so much because what I think the Steelers are or aren't, but I think that the Chiefs offense is as explosive as they looked in week one. And just as a side note, fuck Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes because...
Why?
Just because. Just fuck them.
No reason?
Yeah, no reason. They single-handedly beat my fantasy team when I was playing UMAC.
I was big on Patrick Mahomes in all of my fantasy. I tried to get him at least on my team because I was like, he's going to be good. This is the year that I actually guess right on one of these guys.
Yeah, so I think that I think KC wins this, but if not, I think it's within a field goal. So either way, I'm taking KC plus +4.
So I'm the only one that took the goddamn Steelers.
Yeah.
You homer, you. I'm just kidding.
Am I from Pittsburgh now?
No. James Conner went to Pittsburgh, didn't he?
Yes.
You said Kentucky.
We're talking about John Conner.
John Conner.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Welcome to the conversation, Hefe.
I'm sorry.
Mac, why don't you intro us with the college game we're picking this week?
All right, we are going to, this is a very weird situation, we're going to Nashville, Tennessee, where the Ohio Bobcats are taking on the Virginia Cavaliers.
Nice Nutrisite game they got scheduled?
Yeah, it's just like the TCU-Ohio State game where they didn't want to do it on a home site. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do it in Nashville where they could have more people and, you know, just make it fair for two powerhouse programs.
Sure.
But no, the hurricane flushed the Virginia Cavaliers out of their home site for the weekend, which a lot of the games got canceled. Some and a lot of bigger games, like involving ranked teams, got canceled.
Yeah,
and I guess maybe with a ranked team, they were a little more, you know, hesitant to reschedule on a different location. But for some reason, this game, the Ohio Bobcats at Virginia, got moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and they're playing at Vanderbilt. So. I guess a way to get the game in because it could mean bowl eligibility for both teams if they get a win. Virginia is a 3.5-point favorite. I'm taking OU. I think they win outright too. I think OU, they struggled against Howard, but they've always struggled in that first game against FBS schools. I mean, they beat the shit out of Hampton last year, I guess it was. But the year before that, they got beat by the Texas Southern or whatever the hell school that was. They've struggled against lesser schools that first week of the season. It's not uncommon. And Virginia, they're an ACC school. They're okay, but they're not a great football program. So I think OU finally figures out their quarterback play. And I think OU wins this game outright. But I like having that 3.5 point cushion too, because if they do lose, I see it being like a 24-21 type of game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know much about either of these teams, so I'm just going to be a homer like Hefe called me for Pittsburgh. And give me the Bobcats plus 3.5. I don't know shit about either team, really.
You more or less just said word for word what I was going to say, because I know nothing about Virginia, and I know surprisingly little about OU for being an OU grad. I haven't followed them that closely recently.
So,
the homer in me is going to say I think the Bobcats pull it off. And like Max said, I think they win it outright, but if they do lose, I think it's going to be a close one. So
Yeah. Either
way, I think 3.5 points is enough.
Well, they got a Canadian quarterback and a running back with a French-sounding name, so it's a little weird.
All right, I'm going Virginia.
and a wide receiver named Poppy.
Ooh.
Poppy White.
Big Poppy?
Yeah, I'm gonna take OU as well. I know OU's favorite to win their conference, and I know they're returning a lot of seniors this year, isn't it?
On offense,
I know they've returned a lot of starters, and I think the first game was kind of, you know, Cam Newton's brother was a quarterback for Howard,
mm-hmm.
and he's had like 500 all-purpose yards. Like I just don't think they're gonna have that same issue. And I think that Virginia is not a tough ACC school, so I think they're going to win outright.
I didn't see how he did the second week of the season. I know they played.
It is a drinking school in a drinking town, though.
In Nashville, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be dangerous.
Drinking school going to a drinking town.
I wonder how that works, but I know they got destroyed. Howard got destroyed by Kent State in the last week. I didn't see how Cam's brother did, though. I'm trying to figure that out real quick. Cam's brother only had 159 passing yards. Hmm. So I don't know what the hell happened to him.
My theory is blown up.
But, I mean, he was good, and he had a lot of big plays, and a lot of those yards came on a couple plays. But, yeah, that should be – it'll be interesting dynamic with – I can't imagine a lot of people from Virginia are going to travel in – especially with all the shit they have going on. I guess maybe if they evacuate, they might as well evacuate to Nashville. But I think you're going to see a heavy OU crowd because OU, Nashville's not that far from Ohio.
Yeah. Right?
And it's a fun city to be in for a weekend. So
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of those college kids like, oh, let's go to fucking Nashville for the weekend.
Exactly.
And
wouldn't shock me if OU put together some sort of student bus trip. They do for a lot of their away games like that. I know they did it for Kentucky that one year that they played down there. And they've done it for numerous away games that are at cool cities to go to. So I think you're going to see it's going to be almost like an OU home crowd, I have a feeling. But it'll be a fun game to watch just because even with a heavy OU crowd, they'll probably put about a quarter of a stadium full of people in Vandy's, whatever Vandy's stadium's called.
Yeah.
So all right. So it looks like some ground could be made up one way, the way things fall this week. Got a nice spread. Last week it was we all were against Witte, and then we all agreed on the Colts game, Bengals Colts. And this week we have a decent mix of people going out on their own. So
although we all took OU,
we did. So we'll all get that one. So
I just don't know enough about Virginia football.
Nobody
does. Anybody?
Yeah.
No. I don't think Virginia knows that much about Virginia football.
So at the game Thursday night, the Bengals honored the 1988 Super Bowl attending Bengals team. They lost to the Niners in the Super Bowl.
the participants.
I feel like it sounds better if you say the 1988 AFC champion.
I like how I said it.
Bengals. Yeah.
The 88 championship team. It's the 30 years since they've been doing that. So with that in mind, we decided to go ahead and list our favorite Bengals. I don't know about you guys, but most of mine are from my life. Like I didn't really go back to players that played before
franchise
my
guys.
Time.
Mine are all my lifetime as well.
Yeah.
Mine are all over.
Mine are actually from the mid to late 80s. So.
Because like I don't give a fuck about Ken Anderson. he threw the ball in the 70s and 80s, and I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So Mac has the first pick. Right, so
I'm going to go with one that I'm afraid will get pulled off the board quick. I know Witte won't do it. I am going to go with Chad Ochocinco. I also like the installment of Chad Johnson. I love Chad Johnson. He started to go a little weird when he went to Ochocinco, but I still loved him. And he's one of those guys, and the reason he's my number one is because he's one of those guys, unless he was a Steeler or, you know, I don't really know any other organizations that I truly just despise through and through. I would have liked him anyway.
Right.
Like, he's just one of those guys that, like, you would have rooted for and you think he's funny. And the only people that didn't like Chad Johnson were division rivals or fans of teams that he just absolutely humiliated. Like on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
There were times during Chad's tenure with the Bengals where I kind of started to get annoyed with his antics. I kind of wish he would have toned it down. So he wasn't my favorite at the time. Looking back, I like it a lot more. Like, I appreciate it a lot more. And the fact that he backed it up with play on the field, I mean, that's what makes it tolerable. Yeah. It wasn't like he was doing all that shit and then going out there and just putting up a lackluster performance. So, I mean, he's, you know, one of the best, if not the best, receivers in Bengals history. I mean, I think he'll be surpassed by A.J. Green, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, I really like Chad. He's a goofy guy, and he brought a lot of personality to the game that, you know, back then, a lot of the shit that he did, he got flags for. Nowadays, the, you know, they're letting guys do that, celebrations and that stuff. I think he was kind of one of the pioneers of that. So, you know, I like that pick.
He also had the he was really high on my list too, Mac. But he was part of that resurrection of the Bengals. Like, he made it cool to be from Cincinnati again, and that was something that we hadn't had for like 15, 20 years.
And
he was, you know, he resurrected the city basically.
And he was proud to be a
Bengal.
Like, that was that's what made
like
it
a little bit
enjoyable.
Of a swagger.
Yep, and I won't. We could go on for hours about his antics and the things that he did that were funny, but a couple of things that I loved of his, the checklist that Marvin ended up making him take down, which I actually had a copy on our dorm wall, like on our, he guaranteed victory against that Chiefs game.
That was awesome. We were
and
at
they
game.
Did.
Weren't we at that game?
Thanks to Peter
Ward. I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember who all was there, but I know I was there because we were sitting in that upper section of the
end zone. Yeah, I was at that game.
Yeah.
That was when we saw you guys there.
Yep. And, because I think I won tickets at B-Dubs that time or something like that, something weird like that. But that was an awesome game. That was when they still had the grass field. But my favorite end zone celebration of his was when he used the pylon to putt.
Yep, that's what I was
I don't know why, but that one always got me.
Yep, I
like
the putter.
I love that. So
I like the Hall of Fame jacket. That was
that
funny.
That was funny, too.
That one... That's one of the ones that pissed Carson off, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he
there was a lot that
him?
He did that. Yeah, there was a lot that he did that pissed Carson off.
The one time he ripped off the Ochocinco nameplate before it was approved by the NFL.
That's right. What I was thinking.
Carson.
Of. Yeah.
And you find this out later on. I've heard interviews with Chad and stuff. A lot of those things that he came up with were actually Carson's ideas.
Really?
Like some of the weird hijinks he would do. Like everyone always thought Carson was the fun police with the whole Chad, but he would essentially be like, "Hey, like it'd be kind of funny if you did this," or he would okay it with Carson first, and Carson would be like, "Yeah, it's actually pretty good." But there were some things, like you said, like the Hall of Fame jacket pissed him off, and I think there was something else that pissed him off at one point. Yeah. I forget what it was.
Yeah,
probably some of the guarantees he used to make.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because that puts a lot of pressure on Carson.
Right.
Yeah. I have the second pick in the draft. I'm going to go with a guy that wasn't here very long, but certainly made his impact felt. He was only here about 6 months. That's Antonio Bryant. 28 million dollar man. Signed a 4-year contract, played for 6 months, and got out of town. Just kind of well-liked for his short time here. Really more hate it than anything, but it was not really his fault. They signed a guy with bad knees.
Right.
So I never really hated the guy. I just would have liked to see what he could have done.
Yeah. I remember being excited about that signing.
Yeah,
I was
pumped.
Like, oh, wait, okay, this isn't going to happen, is it?
And I remember they had played a game against the Buccaneers, and he shredded the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being like, oh, my gosh, it's going to be awesome. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. $28 million for 4 years was a lot of money back. You know, back then it's not like the crazy contracts of today. And the guy only lasted 6 months. He gave up his number to T.O. when he came in.
So, Carson was like, here, sign T.O.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was, yeah, short-lived, but we love you, Antonio Bryant. We hope you're doing well. I'm sure he's gingerly walking somewhere.
Yeah. $28 million in his pocket.
Yeah.
All right, so for my first pick, we're going back to the mid to late 80s for this one. Susanna Hoffs, she's one of the lead singers and guitarists for the Bangles. The popular band back in the day. They had some hits like Walk Like an Egyptian, Manic Monday. So Susanna was one of the founding members of that group, so she's probably my first top favorite Bangle.
I bet they're foxes right now.
All right. I feel ill-prepared because after Antonio Bryant and the lead Bengals singer, I'm going to go with... I got back-to-backs. So... He had a terrible exit from Cincinnati, but Carson Palmer is still one of my favorite Bengals of all time. I hate the way he left, but he was also part of that Ocho Cinco regime, that 05 team. That is the funnest year of watching football I've ever had, and I think part of it was probably because of, you know, we were all at OU and wore our Bengal shit every single Sunday and watched the games all together. You know, we would go to B-dubs and watch them, but... The Bengals were fucking good.
So, yeah, it helped that they were legitimately probably one of the best teams in the NFL that year.
Right. And Carson had a lot to do with that. It had been so long since we had a competent quarterback in Cincinnati. And I think that is that was a big reason why it was so much fun to watch. It was, you know, Ocho Cinco, Chris Henry, and... Houshmandzadeh, like the weapons that team had was ridiculous. Rudy Johnson running the ball, but yeah, Carson was the leader of that team, and he's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, God, by far. And if he doesn't blow his knee out, oh my God.
Yeah.
The things they could have done with him. I mean, that team was so good that year.
Right. And I think a lot of people have kind of turned their backs on Carson because of the way he left, which I don't blame anybody for. I didn't like it either, but looking at how the team is and the ownership is, I don't blame him for wanting out.
No, not at all.
And a lot of people turned their backs on him before he left, before that all went down.
It's true.
Because after he came back from that injury, he wasn't the same quarterback. And fans turned on him quick. I mean, it's the same thing they do with Dalton. You see that everywhere. And I think Mac mentioned, I forget who you were talking about earlier, but you kind of said you were an apologist for
Homer.
Homer, yeah, which, I mean, I'm the same way, and I was that same way with Carson, too. I was like, well,
me too. I defended this Carson. Isn't
Carson's
the
fault.
Day.
I mean, he's got a shitty offensive line right now.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be times where, like, you know, Chad or T.O., back when T.O. was there, would quit on a route and they'd end up in an interception, and that would look bad on Carson, but it's not Carson's fault. But everyone wanted to jump on him and weren't, like, fans, like, going to the point where they would, like, throw up for sale signs and shit in his yard.
They were throwing trash in his yard and stuff,
I knew they were, like, crossing that line between just giving the guy a hard time and booing him to actually, like, going to his house and doing shit, which, I mean, that's not cool. That's one of the sides of fandom that I hate to see. And
right.
I think sometimes Cincinnati fans can be bad about that. But, I get why Carson left the way he did. I didn't like the way it ended either. But, you know, up until he did leave, I was a Carson apologist.
Same. I had Carson on my list for that reason. I loved him when he was here. Yeah. I hated when I understood when he requested the trade because at that point I was really frustrated with everything too.
Right.
And I think I was mad at Carson until we drafted Andy.
Yeah.
And I just remember, for some reason, I don't remember watching Andy that much in college, but I just remember thinking, like, if they can get this guy in the second round they think they can, this is going to be a huge deal. Because a lot of people were saying he was a first-round talent.
And
I was just praying they weren't
going to
pick Kaepernick.
We fucking robbed the Raiders.
The Raiders, which...
So,
yeah. I'm trying to think of who they ended up getting with those picks. At one point, it was like...
Bengals? I don't
remember.
Yeah.
One of the picks was... either Eifert or Geo, I think, came out of
one of
those.
Yeah, it's one of the...
Yeah.
It was one of the guys that were like a huge contributor, and I'm trying to think, someone else was.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I
mean, it
was
who honestly
the other
one what
was.
Set him up for that 15 season.
Yeah.
That was, I think, I'm trying to think of who, I can't think of who else it was, but I remember.
Best part?
It set him up for that 15 season to really be a special year.
And we almost did the same thing to the Browns again with the McCarron trade.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite the same haul that we would have gotten for Carson, but it was the same coach. It was huge, just giving up these big draft picks for quarterbacks that aren't going to be the answer. But, yeah, Carson's career in Oakland didn't last long, and he ended up doing all right in Arizona before he decided to hang it up. But he's doing media stuff now, too, which he was pretty quiet after he retired. I know he was on the Pat McAfee show last week, and he's been doing some more interviews, and he's got a good personality. Nobody really saw that because Chad overshadowed him with the personality stuff.
Right.
But that's a good pick, DB. I was hoping someone would pick him.
Yeah, it was a great pick.
I didn't want to just pick that entire team from that era because that's kind of where I'm at on some of these guys.
Yeah.
So my next pick, wrapping it around, is going to be the exact opposite of Ocho Cinco, and that's AJ Green. He is just the quiet superstar that does his job and is amazing at everything that he does. And I don't think you could ask for a better lead by example guy. Like, he may not be that rah-rah guy in the locker room, but when you see the work that he puts in off the field and he doesn't complain about contracts and he's just ready to go every single Sunday, AJ Green is that guy, and I love him right now on the Bengals for it.
Yeah, and I think we talked about that article. What was it on? Was it BuzzFeed?
Bleacher Report.
Yeah, that Bleacher Report article where you basically kind of noted, like, you look at a guy like AJ Green next to a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., and it's like 100% difference between their personality types. And you know, they both perform on the field, but I prefer, you know, AJ Green just kind of put his head down, go to work, and do his job, and not, you know, not make it about him. Just be humble about it, and I think he does a great job of that. And you know, he's not bringing extra distractions, because with Beckham, I mean, you know, we talked before, if you're playing well, you're doing well, you can do that kind of stuff. But if you're not, you know, then it just becomes a distraction for the team. With AJ, you never have to worry about that because that's not who he is. It's not what he does.
Yeah.
No. If he does anything, he just beats the shit out of someone on the other team.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
I mean, even on that catch that he had in the Indy game, he could have hopped up and been fired up, but he put his head down and kind of flexed a little bit and then walked back to the sideline.
Oh, the touchdown,
Yeah. Like, that was an amazing catch. Like, Chad would have went insane if he did that. And, I mean, he just put his head down, flexed, and then kind of walked over to the – just paused for a minute, walked back over to the sideline.
Always reminds me of A.J. Green throwing A.J. McCarron's first touchdown ball into the stands.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Such – because that's so out of character for him.
Yep. That's funny. I like that pick, so DB.
Well, DB has the wide receivers cornered.
Yeah.
Unless Carl Pickens is out there, I think that might be the last wide receiver off the board.
So my second pick, I'm going with Vicky Peterson, also a member of the Bengals, vocals and guitar. She's one of the founding members as well. And one thing that people don't realize about the Bengals is their original name was the Bangs. But they ended up getting sued by some punk band or whatever, because I guess they had a similar name, so they had to change it. So they ended up with the Bengals. But Vicky Peterson, another solid member of that group that's been around for years. I think they're still doing shows there, you know, at least to a certain extent. I think just in the past couple of years they've done some. So
was Cindy Lauper a Bengal?
I don't think so.
He said that like he went to the show last week.
Yeah. Oh, big Bengals fan, man. Who day?
My lips are sealed. Bengals. What's that from?
I don't know. I assume that's an office quote because it sounds like an office quote, but I don't
remember. Michael, when he's got the secret from Jim and Pam.
It sounded like a very Michael Scott quote. But.
How's the pee situation? The P-A-M?
Yeah.
It's okay. We're cool. We're talking in code.
Pam.
Peach tea, you're going to hate it. All right, Witty, good job. Hefe, try to follow that one up.
Yeah. We're gonna go middle of the list. We're just gonna throw the goat out there. Anthony Munoz, guy's a god amongst men. He's a great dude. Does a ton for the community. He's my favorite player of all time.
Most fucked up pinky on Bengals history.
Yeah, he's got the pinky. That the only reason he hasn't gotten it fixed is because he said it doesn't hurt.
It's gross. Get it fixed.
It's fun. I love seeing old school linemen with that. Like, you don't see that anymore because they wear the gloves and they tape their hands, but there's so many old school linemen that have jacked up pinkies and thumbs.
I don't know. He's in he's in beer commercials now, so.
Oh, problematic.
Yeah.
I think he's Dos Equis. Modelo is who he's a sponsor for now.
Is it? I knew it was one of the ones. I didn't know if it was Dos Equis or Modelo.
Yeah, I think it's Modelo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't get behind a guy that abuses alcohol like that.
Not my tackle.
But no, I mean, he's our only Hall of Famer. He had to make the list. So
our only Hall of Famer. For now. Sounds like Kenny Anderson might. I don't know. When's that decision get made?
Not sure.
I think it already got made for this year, didn't it?
Is it? I don't know. Like there's a Legends Committee or something that he can still be voted in on. I still don't understand how Kenny Anderson's not in the Hall of Fame, despite DB slander.
East Coast bias, man.
East Coast
bias. Us Midwesterners, we don't get any recognition.
Nope. So,
all right, but you guys all knew I was going to put Munoz on there.
I know. I almost stole him from me. You're lucky.
I did too.
All right. I'm going to keep it I'm going to keep it with the fat guys. I'm going to go Andrew Whitworth.
Nice.
I love Whitworth, and man.
I felt weird picking someone that was a current player for someone other than the Bengals. Like, I have no problem picking current Bengals, but picking somebody that, you know, has left, I wish he never would have.
The real best tackle in Bengals history.
That's right. I always loved
probably
him.
Hurt, but.
But that year that they were having that terrible season, I think they were 0-8 at the time, and he got in that fight with the Jaguars defensive line.
Yeah, the psychopath from the Jaguars.
Yeah, I think that was when I already liked Whitworth, and I was always a big fan of his just because he seemed like he went about his business, and he was a good, you know, leader. At that point, he was still relatively young.
Yeah.
But he was kind of that anchor on the offensive line. What?
That was his rookie year, wasn't it?
No, he'd been around for
a
little while.
It was John Henderson. He was a psychopath.
Yeah.
John Henderson used to get smacked before games.
I don't remember where I was coming from, but I was driving home to my parents' house listening to that on the radio as it played out. And I was like, I wish I would sing video for that, and I obviously did later. But, it was wild.
But, yeah, they that I always liked Whitworth. That I really liked him after that, just because it showed that he actually, one, he cared about his eyesight, but two, as an 0-8 team, seeing that fire, like I feel like he was a huge part of the resurgence when Andy got here too.
Definitely.
So I think he was that perfect guy, and he got screwed. He got done dirty, as they say, by Mike Brown this last time around when I guess Marvin.
Yeah,
I think that was one of the things that Marvin almost left over was the whole Whitworth situation. It was Whitworth's understanding and Marvin's understanding that he was going to be offered a contract. Mike Brown decided on his own. No, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing good things in Los Angeles with the Raiders. At least he gets to live in better weather year-round. And
that's why I put the Rams in the Super Bowl. I really want to see him win one.
I would like to see Whitworth win a Super Bowl for sure.
You started liking him once that nudes leaked. That nude video of the locker room leaked. That's when you started liking him. Dude was cut. Like, I'm not going to lie. I didn't picture him to be a cut dude, but.
He got really cut there the last couple years.
He was cut. That picture of him on vacation on the beach, he's a fucking massive human being. But it's like all muscle. It was ridiculous. Yep.
And next to his wife, who I think was an athlete at LSU too, maybe, but she's like 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he made her look like a little person. Yep. Like, she looks so small. And he's just—he's a refrigerator, like a muscle refrigerator. It was crazy. Yeah. So,
Cordy Glenn was there. I think them admitting that they really screwed up on that because they brought in a guy that's pretty much exactly like Whitworth, just a big dude.
All righty. So my last pick. Oh man, I've got three right here that. They're all worthy, and I don't necessarily want to stick them on my honorable mentions. I'm going to go with the less obvious one, just because I feel like the other two, I don't want to steal the other two from anyone. Tony McGee.
Yeah.
I love
Tony. I don't know why, but I always loved Tony McGee. Like, he was a tight end during the years, like the Pickens and Shake and Blake years. Like, he was there for like 7 or 8 seasons, and they were the terrible seasons. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he ever made it to Paul Brown Stadium. I feel like he was always a Synergy Field and Riverfront guy on that turf. But, yeah, he was a tight end, and he didn't put up crazy numbers because tight ends back then didn't.
Right.
Like, he wasn't. But, I mean, he's relatively local guy. I don't know if he still lives in the area or not, but yeah, he, I mean, I always loved him for some reason. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys that, like, him and Pickens are two guys, and I don't know anything about him personally other than that I don't know if he's from Indiana or Michigan. He went to Michigan, but I think he either lived in Indiana or is from Indiana or something.
Yeah.
But it's one of those deals where it's like, I don't know if he was out killing people or not, or like just a bad guy. Like, but for some reason as a Bengal, he was always like one of those guys when I was a little kid. It was like,
I
like Tony McGee. Yeah, I don't know why.
I always liked Tony McGee as a kid because he was number 82, which was my number in youth football. So I was like, oh, he's got the same number as me. He's cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, good pick. With my last pick, I'm going to go with Icky Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the Icky Shuffle, just iconic.
It's a good one.
He's had kind of a rough life after football. He sold meat for a while. But he's doing the – was that a Geico commercial that he did the Icky Shuffle on?
I think it's Geico.
Safe it's crazy, though, when you think about him, because he had a very short career with the Bengals, too. But as iconic as he is, as a, you know, kind of a legendary Bengal, I think he played a very short career for them. So, but no, Icky Woods is, I loved Icky. The Icky Shuffle was so awesome. It was so cool when we were kids. I remember always, my dad would always ask me to do the Icky Shuffle. So, no, definitely Icky Woods is my last pick.
Nice. I like that one. So my last pick, a little bit of an underdog, Debbie Peterson. She's actually Vicky Peterson's sister, who I picked with my second pick. She played drums and did some vocals, and you know, she got overlooked a lot of times. There were times where they'd be recording a song and they each have their own vocal tracks, but sometimes hers got cut, and you know, sometimes her drum stuff got cut down. So you know, she got a little bit disrespected, but you know, I'm giving her the props that she deserves. Again, she's one of the founding members of the Bengals, so I'm going with Vicky.
I really thought you were going to pick, like, the Bengal Tiger that mauled Siegfried or Roy, whichever one got beat up.
No, I like Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, but the Tiger's awesome. The one that mauled them.
That's not okay.
It is okay.
Was it a Bengal Tiger or was it something else?
It was a white tiger. I don't know if it was Bengal or not. They had
Color Rush Tiger.
It was a Color Rush. my last pick is similar to Max.
Mine?
No. Not yours.
It was the Bengals manager.
Yeah. It's kind of a guy that I grew up like, and I think a lot of it is probably his name, because his name's fucking awesome. But I grew up, and he was only on the Bengals for like 5 years, but Taquio Spikes always sticks out in my mind as one of those dudes that he was just an insane linebacker that he played for the Bengals for only 5 years, and he is still top five all time on their tackles list.
Yep.
He was just an absolute monster.
He's a beast, man.
He was
one of those guys I wish stuck around for the resurgence.
I was going to say, he's in that class of players, and he's like someone on my honorable mention, that his prime was wasted on those miserable Bengals teams. Like, they were elite players, and they got screwed because they'll never be remembered. Well, one of the guys will be. But Taquio Spikes will never be remembered as the great linebacker he was.
Yeah. And he had a pretty long career after he left the Bengals, too.
Yeah, he played for Buffalo for a while.
In a decent career in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I think he ended his career on the Niners. But, yeah, he only played 5 seasons for the Bengals, and he had almost 500 tackles, which is just insane to think about. Yeah.
That's because the defensive line sucked and all the running backs were getting through the first line.
Big Daddy Wilkinson. Why is it wrong?
God, Big Daddy.
It's crazy how linebackers clean up behind a miserable defensive line.
I know.
I don't know, and I can't say this without looking at the stats or anything, but it'd be funny. He might be the leading tackler with the most yardage on the plays he tackled. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all of his tackles were like 6 yards downfield.
Yeah.
So I'll do my honorable mentions before someone steals them. I'm surprised. surprised a couple of these weren't on people's list, but the guy I was talking
to mine.
Shut up.
Guy I was talking about that is in the same vein as Takiyah Spikes is Corey Dillon.
Yeah.
Ooh.
At the time I didn't like the way Corey Dillon left, but now knowing the situations and how things were, I completely get it.
Yep.
Like I would have gone about it differently if I were him, but just like chucking his shoulder pads and everything.
So you went
into
through
stands.
Your shoulder pads in the stands?
Yeah.
He was like the workhorse in the darkest years of Bengals history.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
And
he has so many great highlights.
Our young to mid teenage years are cool with Corey Dillon.
I was so mad. There was a consignment shop I used to walk by every single day. And I went in there and they had the white Corey Dillon jersey. And it was an extra large.
So
it would have fit me perfectly. And I was like, I'll walk in there, and if it's like $20, I'm going to buy it. The lady wanted like $85 for it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think so. Like, it was white, and it was a little dingy looking. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to buy it. And I think she probably didn't know what she had. She probably looked up and saw how much NFL jerseys were online.
Right.
Like, I'll just mark it $15 cheaper than what they are online.
Right.
But yeah, that was – I love Corey Dillon. And he was so damn good. I remember, was it the game Monday night game against the Broncos when he set the rushing record? The rookie rushing record.
Yeah.
I remember watching that first half of game on TV, and then I think I was allowed to listen to it on the radio in bed. And then when he was looking like he was going to break it, my parents came upstairs like, okay, you can watch it on TV now.
Nice.
And I remember, I think that was the Broncos, and
that's weird. I have vivid memories of listening to that game on the radio too.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's crazy, yeah. And because we were young, we were in elementary school at that time. I think 2000. No, it wasn't 2000. So it couldn't have been.
Late
98, maybe.
Yeah, it was like 98 or
99.
But yeah, that was. I love Corey Dillon. My other one was. Someone, and I think it's probably because I had he was the number for the Bengals kit, like the Halloween Bengals uniform. And I liked him, especially when he came back for a second stint. Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, Boomer is one of those guys that I actually am pretty surprised he didn't make the list, but I guess three people were left off because of all Bengals picks.
So I do have some honorable mentions that are real Bengals that I had just so I could actually contribute. And Boomer was on mine, and it was pretty much exactly what you said, Mac, because I just remembered having the Boomer Halloween costume the one year. So, I really like Boomer.
That makes that makes three of us.
Who's that?
Yeah.
It was that hair, man.
Hefe couldn't fit into it.
I was like 6'10".
I was Munoz.
You shrunk?
Like... No, I'm just saying, I was like 6 foot tall back then, like 10 pounds. Got fat as
dangerous.
I got older.
But, and I like how he's still an ambassador to the Bengals in Cincinnati. Yeah. He will defend
to death.
Yeah, there's been times where I thought he was going to fight Cower on NFL, whatever they call it on CBS, NFL Today or whatever.
Yeah.
Where just this past week, Boomer was talking about the Bengals and how impressive they look, and Cower cut him off and started talking about the Steelers, and I thought Boomer was going to like jump across the table at him.
Yeah.
Because he was like, obviously they don't, they both hate each other's teams even though they have working respect for one another now. But do you have any other football players, Woody?
Yeah, I did. I had Eifert on my list. I know he gets a lot of hate for the injury prone, but for being injury prone, but I've always been a big Eifert fan. And you know, we've said before, when he's healthy, he's one of the best tight ends in football. So, hopefully he can stay healthy this year, but I've always been a big Eifert fan. And that mullet, I mean, that mullet is awesome.
It's amazing.
He looked good. He did look good in the first game.
Yep. And then my last honorable mention was Rudy Johnson. I really liked Rudy when he was here.
Yeah.
He was.
I forgot. I mean,
really
I didn't
part of
Rudy
that
was
Rudy,
kind
of.
I didn't think about
Rudy
that.
Was kind of Dylan's, like, you know, predecessor.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of came in after all the craziness with Dylan, and now he really did. He kind of took it, and he had a good couple years.
He was a big part of that 05 team, too, that made it back to the playoffs for the first
definitely.
Time.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. The only other honorable mention I'll throw out there is Hoosh. I mean, he was part of that team that he made it fun to be a Bengal, too, because he had that crazy name. He was in that great fantasy football commercial. I'll take Hoosier Mama. Yeah. That was I mean, he... I think he put up 1,000 yards 2 years in a row too. So I mean, it wasn't like his production was lacking on the field, but he was one of my local favorites.
Yeah, he almost said he like led the NFL in catches for a couple seasons too.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
I had guy that I think falls into that category with Dylan and Takiyah Spikes is Big Willie Anderson. I feel like he's never really appreciated for what he was. He was, kind of the other tackle when Whitworth came in and kind of showed Whitworth the ropes. But he played in a lot of bad seasons. I don't think he ever played on a winning team in his career in Cincinnati.
He was on the 05.
Yeah.
Was he?
He was on that Carson team.
Was he? Yeah. I mean, he was so good, and he kind of laid back guy too. So I also had Jeff Shaken Blake. Kind of a dude that took the team by storm. Everybody went all in on him, and he didn't have the greatest career.
He had a really good deep ball, man.
Mm-hmm.
He had the weirdest deep ball. It was like that. It was the moonshot that would just fall right. It was incredible how accurate he was with it. And him and Pickens had so many like bombs that year. Like, oh god, it was so awesome. Or it was Darnay Scott, wasn't it?
Both really. Scott's one of those other guys that is forgotten about a lot of times, and he's probably most famously known for his jersey being worn in one of the Nelly videos. I forget which one it is, but someone's wearing it because I think he's from St. Louis or so. I looked it up one time, but I remember the Shaken Blake and I think it was Pickens on the play. They ran that fake spike play that one time. Yeah. I just remember that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if it was Darnay Scott or Pickens that caught it.
I think it was Pickens.
But
Pickens kind of was one of those guys, too, that, kind of forgotten because it was dark years.
A historically bad franchise, they've had some pretty good players. It's kind of crazy to think about.
I've always said I'm a Bengals homer, and it's just because I grew up watching them, and I grew up watching the classic teams, and Tim Crumry was on my list. I had David Fulcher, like all the really like old players that I knew my dad really liked that I would always watch. He had tapes and he would pull out stuff, he record it and put games on it. It was just fun watching them. I grew up watching them.
I assume with the express written consent of the NFL?
No. Come get him. Dig him up.
The shovel.
Dig him up.
FA's going to owe the NFL like all kinds of millions of dollars in fines, FCC fines and everything now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were all my honorable mentions. Yeah. Just some of the old school names. Like Fulcher could never play in the league now. Like, he was a hard-hitting safety that would just come up and destroy people. Like, I enjoyed some of those gritty players they used to have.
Yeah, me too.
I actually met David Fulcher 2 years ago now, I guess it was. He was at some place that I was at, and he's huge. He's a big dude.
I've met him a couple times back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going through my cards the other day. Yeah.
I was going through some of my old football cards the other day. I have like 6 or 7 autographed cards from him because he actually worked with my grandma back in the day when he left football.
Yeah, but he's a big guy. He's about my height, but he was like still built like an NFL player.
Yeah, he's huge.
I think he coaches one of the like community colleges teams.
I'm not sure if he still. He was coaching CCU.
Is that what it
Cincinnati
was?
Cincinnati Christian.
Yeah,
it was their first football team. I'm not sure if he's there anymore or not.
I like when guys stick around like that.
Yeah.
But
yep. So despite all the bad seasons we've lived through with the Bengals, we definitely have had some players that have really stuck out to us. Players we've really enjoyed watching, and hopefully with some of the new guys, younger guys we have coming in, we've got some good players to look forward to in the upcoming seasons, too. But in the short term, what are you guys looking forward to coming up this weekend?
I'm honestly not looking forward to college football for the first time. I mean, I'm obviously looking forward to the OU game. UC plays, I forget who it is, one of the 1AA, whatever they call themselves now, FCS schools or whatever. I don't know. Like this weekend, I was in and out a lot. I didn't get a chance to sit down, but I'm excited for my first true football Sunday. I think this week where get the chili going in the morning. Hopefully, it'll be a little bit cooler than it's been, and just sit around and drink beer and eat chili and watch football all day Sunday.
I got something that I don't know if you guys knew was happening so quickly, But on Monday, so it's not this weekend, but it's Monday, the Blue Jackets have their first preseason game.
Uh-oh. Yes, they do against St. Louis Blues.
Right? I got Buffalo.
But it's Buffalo Sabres. My bad.
Yeah.
My bad. Same. It's Sabres.
Yeah. But I can't believe that hockey season's already here. Yeah, preseason's starting up.
Yeah.
Basketball tips off in at the end of October too. Yep. So we got a little bit more than a month for that. But yeah.
Oh yeah, we found out today. Up, baby. John Tortorella is signed through 2021.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which so everyone knew that was kind of in.
There's coaching staff and the front office people. Now they just have to extend their goalie and their best forward.
I was going to say, work a deal with the Russians.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing the red, white, and blue is
no
not accustomed
collusion.
To.
Yeah. So I was kind of, I'm glad that this didn't get brought up earlier. We were talking about Carson Palmer. One thing I'm looking forward to.
Is there a Bengals convention?
Yeah. No, on Friday, Carson Palmer's A Football Life on NFL Network comes out.
So, yes.
I'd like to check that out. I think I'm interested to see what he has to say. I'm sure he's going to have some, maybe some more insight into his thoughts and feelings of his time with the Bengals, which I'm sure a lot of it's probably not going to be good, but hopefully he has some kind of fond recollections of the team too. But like we said, I always like Carson. I like his personality, so... I'm interested in watching his football life. And I've really not watched any of those before, but this is one of the few that really has my interest. So
the Chad Johnson one is really good. I'd recommend it. Yeah. And I'm trying to think. There was another one that I watched that I was like, holy shit, like that was really fucking... I know the Favre one was good, but there was someone else that I wasn't expecting.
I've looked for the Ocho Cinco one on Amazon because they have a bunch of them on Amazon Prime, but that's not one of them that's available.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks. I had it on my old DVR for a long time.
Did you try to search for Chad Johnson instead of Ocho Cinco?
Oh, fuck.
See?
I'm just looking forward to some sunshine.
Ooh.
Yeah, sunshine.
I know. God.
Last weekend was terrible.
It was miserable.
And I worked, but... God, it was still so terrible. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just excited for some sunshine. Maybe you get what? Outside a little bit. Yeah.
That's weird. I didn't see any blocks.
Yeah. I'm just excited to get out and enjoy some sunshine, and you know, it was gross. I mean, I think I had timed it on Sunday, just kind of looking outside. I think it stopped raining finally at 6 o'clock on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time it had stopped all weekend.
Yep.
And it was just miserable from Friday to Sunday at 6.
Yep. I can't wait to see that sunshine from my couch while I'm sitting there watching football either. So.
I am excited for football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the show, folks.
MillerIronSports.com.
Add us.
See you next week.
And also on Twitter at MillerIronSports.
Bye.
Boop, boop.
Wait, why did no one pick Pac-Man?